apart like some piece of fruit in the snow. But oh, well, babe, I know this. I've always known this. I've always known. Always known. Always known. Always known. I've always known. Always known. Always. Thank you.
To SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now on 2SER 107.3. You are with me for the next hour. I'm going to be talking about all things arts and culture. But before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would also like to pay respect to elders both past and present of the Eora Nation. So as always, we have an incredibly busy show for you this morning. I can't even begin to explain how many people are coming in. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And usually if you listen to our show, you know that I do a kind of big old intro about all the things that are coming up because I'm always very excited about them all, but I don't think I even have time for that today. So I'm just going to jump straight into the music. But while I play this first track, I want you to think about what the collision between a percussionist and a dancer would look like, because up next, we're talking about Recital, which is an innovative dance work that does just this. So right now I'm going to kick things off with a bit of Sydney-based music. This is one of my favourite acts at the moment, kicking around Sydney. I reckon they're one of the most creative and innovative things I've seen in a while. This is three-piece Baby Beef with their track, Just Relax 2018.
Everything is wholesome.
that there is a track from Baby Beef, Just Relax 2018. As I mentioned before, they're one of my favourite acts in Sydney at the moment. Be sure to check them out. If you like anything you hear, we'll pop it all onto the playlist if you search for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website. That is 2SER 107.3, which is the station you are locked to at the moment. And right now I'm talking about movement and sound. So how does movement sound, and what does sound? How does sound move? Recital, a work presented by Form Dance Project, sees a dancer and a percussionist come together in this strange and mesmerizing double act exploring just this. So I am joined by Richard Chilley, who performs alongside percussionist Claire Edwards in this work. So good morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
So have you performed in a work with just yourself and one instrumentalist before?
Absolutely not. This is kind of terrifying and really exciting.
Yeah, I can imagine. I wanted to know kind of what it looks like. Is it you two both on stage? Is the relationship that you have visible to audiences?
Yeah, so it's called recital. The form is that it's a recital, like a music and dance recital, and we are the two performers. But what begins as what might seem as like some sort of concert for music and dance starts to change into something a little bit weird, and the relationship between the two performers starts to get fleshed out, and you understand that it's very complex and a little bit dark and competitive and codependent and a little bit hilarious as well.
So you're kind of, as you said, unpacking this idea of a recital and this relationship that I guess exists in most dance productions between music and dance.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, the people behind that. So have you experienced contention in the past between, as yourself, a dancer and the musicians that you're working with?
Yeah, there's always a tension between them, because when you're playing or when you're performing to live music, it's going to be different every night. So it requires you to be much more mindful of how you're moving in every moment, instead of just being able to replicate it in the same way every night. So if the musicians play slower, you got to hang in the air a little bit higher or like slow down, or if it's fast, sometimes that can be really tricky as well. So it becomes more conversational. And that's what I like about this work, is that we really take that and make that the meat of the work. So the conversation and the tension between these two forms and where they flow and where they find difficulty, we really like flesh that out.
What I like about this concept is that I feel as though this relationship is only known, at least to the same extent, by both dancers and musicians, and I think it's really cool to present this like quite complex relationship to people who don't necessarily understand it and just view it for what it is. I think it's cool to unpack that and, as you said, flesh that out.
Totally. Like, I think as a dancer, being on stage with live music, I've always felt so lucky to be able to experience music in that way, that not even an audience member really gets to appreciate music that's performed live, when you get to do a whole season and dance to it every night after night. And I think this show really gives that experience or understanding of what that relationship is, and puts the audience in those shoes.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of acts as like a mirror to what's experienced by you in every show, I suppose. Mm. I want to know, I've read that this experience is kind of described as visceral. In what way do you think it's visceral, and how might audiences feel watching this work?
Well, it begins in quite a conventional way, but as we go deeper into the work, the things that the two characters believe are part of what their performance should be start to become less and less conventional or maybe normal. So it starts to get a little bit strange and dark, but the way that we move, the way that we open out or go deeper as well, starts to move into this ecstatic world. So the combination of dance and music becomes primal and then it really universal, and I think by the end it becomes a mesmeric, hypnotic experience, and we find this connection through both our respective platforms.
And with the music, because it's obviously just Claire performing, what instruments is she using? What does it sound like?
She uses all of the least like conventional things I've ever seen, like the weirdest, the like the She came into the room one day, and there's like this weird UFO with spikes hanging off of it, and some rice balls in a and some blocks of wood, and and something called an allophone. So she plays these things that you might not consider as percussion, but you realise that her incredible virtuosic skill means that
anything's percussion.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So having worked on this for a while now, I think it was a few years in the making.
Yeah, we've been going on this for 3 years. So.
Wow. Do you think you have any answers to the question, like how does movement sound to you, and how does sound move? Have you developed your thoughts on that?
I think it's a question that you'll just have to keep asking over and over. And for me, you find more of it every day, and you find more musicality and a new musicality. I think in this work, there's an energy and a tension to the way that Claire plays, and there's a musicality to the way that I move that find a confluence. But I think, I can't answer that.
Do you think if we go, we'll be able to?
Yeah, I think you'll have to come along and find out. That's right. Yeah.
On that note, what are you hoping that audiences take away from viewing this work? What would be your ideal outcome?
I hope they really get an appreciation of the skill that's involved in both of the art forms, and really be entertained by the nuanced relationship between the two performers between the two of us, and hopefully just be like, wow.
That would be a great response if people said wow.
Wow, oh my God. Come and see it. Get all your friends to come and see it as well.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Richard. I hope it goes well.
Thanks a lot.
So I've just been speaking with Richard Chilley about Recital, which is a new show from Form Dance Projects. You can see the work at Riverside Theatres in Parramatta. It opens on the 28th of February and is continuing until the 2nd of March. We'll put all the relevant details up on our show page so you can find tickets and anything else you need to know about that there. Right now, I'm going to continue with a little bit more music. This is another local band, Noodle House, with their track Till the End. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
LA-based, Grammy-nominated neo-soul quintet The Internet make their Sydney Opera House debut this March, performing songs from across their career, including 2018's stunning and seductive Hive Mind. In the beautiful surrounds of the concert hall, book now for The Internet. March 6th at sydneyoperahouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
You are tuned into Soho right now on 2SER 107.3 with myself, Nicole Beck. This is your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. We just spoke about Recital, which is a new work at Riverside Theatres in Parramatta. If you missed that chat and want to listen back, we'll upload all the audio onto our show page. But right now I'm talking about Crossing Borders at Ambush Gallery. So we're all equal before a wave. Artists together in support for LGBTQI plus youth. And this is the sentiment that informs Crossing Borders, which is a new group charity show exhibition at Ambush Gallery. So the exhibition is co-created by the non-for-profit organisation founded by Adam Conway that shares its name. Crossing Borders aims to empower LGBTQI plus youth through surfing, teaching people how to overcome prejudice one wave at a time. So I'm actually joined by Adam this morning to tell us a little bit more about his foundation and the exhibition. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
No problem. So I just wanted to ask how this started.
So originally it started, I went for a surf with one of my best mates. She'd been struggling with depression for quite a long time, and it wasn't until we went for a surf that we that she opened up and spoke about it. And then as I'm studying to become a clinical psychologist, I kind of looked at the rate of suicide attempts in LGBTI youth and at-risk youth in general. So I thought, you know, I wanted to do something about it, and why not use surfing? It's like such a good outlet. And yeah, that's how Crossing Borders kind of came into fruition, and it's just been just getting help from people along the way, and that's how it's kind of snowballed into this into what it is today.
So what it is today, you teach people to surf, is that right?
Yeah, so I just take groups of kids, teach them how to surf, and then after you go for a surf, you kind of talk about any issues they're facing, and then it's create a little community where they all feel safe, and they can just learn how to shred and become little frothers.
Have you noticed people's ability to open up a little bit more in your kind of design community? Have people been receptive and open to the questions asked?
Yeah, as I said, it's a new program, so it is difficult trying to get all the the interest in. But once people get out in the water, they get hooked on it. So you get them onto one wave, and they just want to keep coming back and coming back. So.
Yeah, it does seem quite an addictive sport. I can see why. So now that's Crossing Borders, your organisation. How did that transform into a gallery space with Ambush Gallery?
So it was I got contacted by Jordan from Ambush Gallery, and then I went in there and spoke to them, and they love what I was doing, and I love their space. And they pretty much just sorted me out, and now I've got this big show coming up.
It's crazy.
All these amazing artists, and yeah, it's super exciting.
So they were just basically hey, do you want to transform this into an exhibition? Is it kind of because of Mardi Gras coming up? Is it?
Yeah, I think so, because it's it's an inclusive charity, it has the undertones of for LGBTI youth. And the guys at Ambush, the people at Ambush love what I was doing. And I was like, yeah, mate, whatever you can do to help. And then they've just organised this show, which is so sick.
So was Ambush in charge of getting together all the artists featured?
Yeah, so Ambush got most of the artists, but then one of my mates, Zach Tilley, he had a huge list of artists as well. So then I'd pretty much just emailed them and said, look, this is what's going on. Do you people want to chuck in some artwork? And yeah, mate, for sure.
And so from what I understand, the artworks were donated and they're all for sale, right? And
yeah.
So the proceeds will go back into Crossing Borders.
Yep, sweet as.
Awesome. So did you enjoy your collaboration with Ambush for this? Were you surprised that they came to you?
Oh, it was just amazing. Honestly, they've just gone well above and beyond my expectations. They've literally just organised this huge show. And yeah, just the crew there has been so helpful. They're sending me all these emails and making all these phone calls and getting all these huge
You sound overwhelmed.
Yeah, these huge high profile artists, and I love art, but I don't really know much about it, and it's crazy to have all these huge artists donating things for Crossing Borders, and I'm just it's amazing. I'm super chuffed.
I think what I love about it is that they reached out to you as someone who doesn't necessarily have a background in art, and it's a nice collision of the two kind of worlds, which is really awesome, surfing and art. And
yeah. I think it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of like, you know, like what Crossing Borders is all about. It's like, it's not exclusive. Like, you know, everyone's welcome, which is like what the crew at Ambush, you know, said, like, I don't have an art background. Like,
yeah.
I don't really know much about art. And they've just literally just welcomed me and welcomed my organization and just literally just, yeah, they've made this amazing show, which will be, it'll be so gnarly.
Are there any works or artists that you're a particular fan of that you're excited about? I'm excited to see Babs Robertson's work, who's a friend of mine. She's really talented.
Oh, sweet as. I'm excited to see all of it, to be honest. David Bottrell, he's got some pretty cool work. And a dude from Byron Bay called Jai, he's got some pretty cool stuff as well. So, yeah, it'll be an amazing show.
I also heard that there's some artworks that are on surfboards, which is cool and relevant.
Yeah. So I got some surfboards from Bondi, and then I was dropping off to the guys in the gallery. Yeah, and they're going to paint on them, so it'll be super interesting to see what the artists come up with.
Yeah, awesome. And so what kind of conversations are you hoping Crossing Borders, the exhibition, inspires in the viewers?
So I guess, like, I just want them to have, like, a think of, you know, like have a conversation around mental health, and also like have a conversation around what it means to be like LGBTI, you know, that you don't have to like certainly like fit into a certain stereotype. I mean, you can just like literally like be whatever you want. Like, it doesn't really matter what your sexual preferences are, you know. And the same thing, like, you know, if you are struggling like with mental health, I want to just be like an open forum, this like, you know, like speak to everyone, just, you know, make sure everyone's okay, because a conversation at the end of the day can save a life.
Definitely. And where are you hoping your organisation will kind of go from here? What's your goal for Crossing Borders?
So eventually I want to run like week-long programs interstate. It just like we get like LGBTI youth and kids from like low socioeconomic status, or they're just having a rough time, and teach them how to surf for a week, an intensive program. Just because, you know, like, instead of doing something maladaptive, like, you know, if you've got the skill to go for a surf, you could, you know, spend a couple of hours out in the water and just, you know, you just come back feeling absolutely like a new person, absolutely refreshed, as opposed to like, yeah, doing something, just sitting there and wallowing, which, you know, it's like, if you are struggling with mental health, like, it's a vicious cycle. So if you can break that by teaching these kids how to surf, they'll just be, it'll be amazing.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's an incredible organisation. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, Adam.
Yes, sorry, guys. Thank you.
No worries. So I've just been speaking about Crossing Borders with Adam Conway, who is the founder of this organisation. So the exhibition Crossing Borders opens up at Ambush Gallery on February 28th, which is this Thursday. And all the works, as I mentioned before, are for sale, and all the proceeds going straight back into the organisation. So I highly encourage you to go also check out this like art from emerging Australian artists, which is an incredible opportunity to buy anything like that as well. So get down to the gallery on Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. for opening night. And I'm just going to push on with a little bit more music. This one is from Part Time. It is called Jeans Ballad. You are tuned into So Hot right now.
Thank you.
You are tuned into So Hot Right Now on 2SCR 107.3. This is your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. Right now, you just heard from Part Time with Jean's Ballad up the top, and then that there was Julia Jacklin with Good Guy, which is off her new album, which is our feature album on 2SCR this week. And right now I am talking about Suite 7A in Darlinghurst, which is presenting two wonderful new exhibitions, which is The Famous Five by Rebecca Shabilia and Robin Clare's Stepping Into the Role. I'm joined by both of the artists in studio this morning, as well as the owner of the space, manager and owner of the space, Raffaella Pondofini. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
So I'm just going to unpack these two exhibitions a little bit more. I'm going to start with you, Robin. Mm-hmm. So your work, Stepping Into the Role, is inspired by your interest in the role of women in dancehall culture. So can you unpack this a little bit for us and what that all means?
All right. So I'm originally from Jamaica. And so a lot of my work has to do with just looking at the cultural influences. And, yeah, I'm a massive dancehall fan and just, like, a bit obsessed about the place that women play and just the dynamics of gender within the dancehall space and all these interesting games come out of it. It's quite lots of humour. It's quite fun to kind of check it out.
Yeah, so... What was your initial interest into like exploring this? Did you have any kind of experience or personal experience in dancehall culture?
Yeah, well, growing up in Jamaica, you just end up kind of you know, there. Go to the parties and you kind of watch how things develop. And it's just fascinating to just watch people. And I love watching people interact. So, yeah.
And can you explain the concept? I read a bit about slackness and its presence. What does that mean?
Okay, so Jamaica's quite a conservative society, lots of churches and religion. And then dance hall is the opposite of that. So slackness, a lot of more conservative people call the culture a bit slack, so that it's a bit kind of loose, you know, not kind of like it's very focused on sex and body images and all kind of lewd kind of behavior.
Bad things.
And, yeah. So that's where slackness comes out of.
And how have you explored this? Like, I've read that you've used a lot of color and rhythm and repetition in your paintings. Can you kind of describe them a little bit for us?
So
it's hard.
So the dancers in Jamaica, the you know, you have these incredible creative people just coming out with dances every day, and so it's the dances are quite repetitive themselves, and I just to get the movement in, I love to kind of try and tap into that movement in the paintings. So just kind of repeating the dance moves, having the name of the dance, using bright colours to kind of energise. So, yeah, just try and pack in as much movement as possible.
Sounds wonderful. I feel like just from your words, you've painted a wonderful picture. So, Rebecca, your work in The Famous Five uses an incredible breadth of colour.
It's not just The Famous Five. It's Thunderbirds Ago as well. Tintin Kuano from Thunderbirds, the female.
Oh, awesome.
From Thunderbirds.
So can you talk to me a little bit about the colour that you've used?
It's actually, it's
bright?
Different colours. It's like, it's Posca as well as, Painty and Copic text as I used in my artwork, not just painty textures. There's a lot of colour and it's extremely bright.
Yeah.
And, the blue background shows the day.
Awesome.
Time in The Famous Five. There's also green as well as the blue, there's green on the grass. So you'll find out that it's a glowy green.
And so what inspires you to make these pictures?
I do... It's like when you're making the artwork, you've got to focus on what you're doing on the paper and that. And some of it gets, some of it gets framed and some of it doesn't get framed. And some of it I've done on canvas and some not. Some on paper, and the paper ones get framed, but in different settings.
So you're in this work you're showing at Suite 7A. It covers 9 years of your artistic practice, which is a really long time.
I've sold 6 so far.
Wow.
Of the paintings, because a lot of my artwork, Joe wanted to buy one for my niece, who's 2 now, going on 3, and they're about to have another one in March.
Awesome. So, Raffaella, what was it like combining these 2 different exhibitions in your space suite?
Well, I guess they're actually in very separate spaces. Robin is in like a hallway project that I've got going on, and then Rebecca's is inside the studio. So, I mean, they definitely made sense to me being together because they're both quite graphic and both really bright. But yeah, they're quite kind of separate shows.
And how did you find both of these wonderful artists?
Rebecca Shvilia is from a gallery called Arts Project Australia based in Melbourne. In Northcote, yeah. And I have been a really big fan of her work for about 8 years. She was in my very first group exhibition I ever did, and I've got works of hers at home.
And I also had a spring exhibition here, 1883.
Yeah, you were in spring 1883. So I've always
wanted
to.
And also in the Hotel Windsor in the city.
Yeah.
And I also do life drawing
at
night.
Yeah.
At Arts Project.
Yeah, so that was really, I've always wanted to do a show of Rebecca's work, so that was really exciting, and Arts Project have been very generous in partnering. And Robin, similarly, I met through some friends, and I got a work of hers, which I really love, and so, yeah, it's just been waiting for the right time for the show to come up, so, yeah.
Yeah, so you mentioned that both the exhibitions are in quite different spaces, but what do you think audiences have to learn from experiencing them in the same gallery?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a good question. I mean, I think they're both artists that, you know, should be given
a platform
and that I haven't seen shows of in Sydney before, so I feel really privileged and excited to have shown, and, you know, I think that they both should be showing a lot more around the space, which is, you know, hopefully will come out of this. And yeah, they're both great shows, so I really hope people can come and have a look.
Yeah, and hopefully this platform helps kickstart or further both everyone's careers.
Yes.
They both sound incredible. So this is happening, opens today at 3 p.m.
This afternoon, yeah, 3 o'clock.
Yes.
By the way, we also have the annual gala, which happens at the end of the...
At Arts Project.
In December.
Yeah. Awesome. So that's good to look out for. So, yeah, check out Arts Project in Melbourne. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll pop all the details to that as well as the exhibition at Suite 7A, which is on level 2, 66 Oxford Street in Darlinghurst.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
is free?
Mm. Absolutely free.
Yeah, and opens today and is continuing until the end of the month.
Or end of March.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, all of you, so much for coming in
Thanks
this morning.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to talk to you all. Right now, I'm just going to continue on with a little bit more music. This one is from Mick G. This is Annabelle. You're tuned into So Hot Right Now.
It's Gumball time again, the ultimate laid-back family festival experience. Over 40 live acts, including Tex Perkins, Sampa the Great, Magic Dirt and Augie March. It kicks off on Anzac Day, April 25th, and will run over four glorious days. Based in Hunter Valley bushland, this boutique camping festival is BYO and also features great food, markets and loads of activities. For tickets and more info, visit thegumball.com.au. Dashville, proud sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. If you missed that last interview, I was talking with some of the artists who are exhibiting at Suite 7A in Darlinghurst, and that opens at 3 p.m. today, both those shows, so be sure to head down to that opening. It's completely free and definitely worth checking out. But right now I'm talking with some people from Gallery Pom Pom, which is only just around the corner from our studios. So I'm speaking with Danica Favulovic, as well as the gallery assistant Michelle Shanique. Cool. Sorry, I should have clarified that one. And about what's happening at one of our favourite galleries, Gallery Pom Pom. So I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about what is happening at the moment, which is on you, Danica. So you're exhibiting there at the moment with your work, Nine White Paintings. Can you tell us what the inspiration behind this work was?
Okay, so I've been working with white for the last 5 years, and it's been an ongoing investigation into the responsiveness of white when it's laid on linen. And, you know, I guess in this show I've looked at we're incorporating warm white into the palette, and also really creating those subtle layers that really can't be picked up by the camera. So it is really important for viewers to go and see it. And it is until tomorrow.
Yeah.
The last day tomorrow.
I'm interested in linen. So how do the materials interact with linen specifically compared to like any other kind of like cotton or...
Well, I guess the linen brings out the white. It's that contrast that you get. Yeah.
That makes sense. So you kind of explained what it looks like. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Like,
I guess it's to the works. I want them to really slow down our fast paced lives. They're about, you know, slow engagement and contemplation, and they really kind of, white really does suggest, you know, a lot of things. You know, I explore the philosophical, the poetic, the spiritual associations of white as well.
Yeah, the first thing that I always think of is with white is purity, and like I kind of connect to marriage and like religion and stuff. So, yeah. What kind of commentary are you hoping to make on these concepts that you mentioned about the role of white or what we think of white?
I guess, you know, we are bombarded with a lot of images. So I guess it is about slow engagement, like I said, and really kind of enjoying the purity and really immersing yourself and having that pure emotional response to the works.
And as you said,
tomorrow
is the last day. So it's been on for a little while now. How have people responded? Do you think people have kind of slowed down to look at the works? You might be able to answer if you're the gallery assistant, Michelle.
Yeah, totally. I think when people come in, they're quite surprised. They see a lot of white because the gallery itself is very white, as we all know. So it's quite beautiful to stand there and just take it all in, really, and absorb. So you need to take some time out. You need to give it space and time, really. So you've only got till tomorrow, though.
Okay. You don't have much time.
No. So today we're open till 5, and tomorrow we're open from 1 till 5 o'clock.
Okay. Awesome. Now I'm going to redirect my attention to you, Michelle. So as we all know, we spoke about it on the show last week, Art Month is coming up, and Gallery Pom Pom kind of falls in that Chippendale district where there's always a lot of stuff happening.
So we're so busy at the moment. We've got an opening on Wednesday, which is really exciting. We've got Ron Adams. And can I just say happy birthday, Ron?
Happy birthday, Ron.
Yeah, it's his birthday today. And it's so exciting. So Wednesday his show opens. So he's got a show called Brief Candle in the Dark. And that will consist of a series of 17 photographic, digital photographic portraits. And they're, it's like a digital collage. And he's basically taken 17 people that he knows, that he feels quite close and comfortable, and they're friends of artists, musicians, scholars, writers, And basically he said something along the lines of the work, the various reasons that I've been attracted to these people these people attract me in a way, in one way or another. They brief candles in the dark. The project is a psychological adventure into human behaviour and relationships. So he's got interesting people like Jody Gadson, who's in a band called Auto Heart. They're a British band. He's got Andrew Sullivan, who's also exhibiting at the moment with Danica.
Yeah.
So he's in the front room. So he's photographed him as well. He's got Laura Moore, Vanessa Berry, and heaps of others, but I won't tell you because you need to come and have a look. Right?
Yeah, so that opens...
That's this Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
Between 6 and 8, and everybody's welcome to come.
Great. And I've read that you have... a panel for Art Month. Yeah, so yes. What's that about?
yes, but sorry, I've forgotten something.
Yeah.
We also, because there's two artists, Ron Adams and there's Ralph Hobbs. So Ralph has got the front room, which is really exciting, and his work is called The Canary in the Cage. So his work is all about memory and reflection. So you go from the Roman Empire to Tasmania. His work is very beautiful and very poetic, and it's very personal. So I think... between these two artists, the works are very kind of, it reflects on sensibility, right? And so they're very much about memory and emotions, I guess, which is quite nice. So it's funny how these two works come together.
Yeah, they sound as a
very
different, quite nicely. Yeah.
Yes.
So for Art Month.
Yes, okay. And then Art Month. Okay, see, so many things.
It's all happening.
So Art Month is happening, which is really exciting. As we know, it starts on the 7th of February. But we have a really exciting event happening on Sunday, the 10th of March at 3 o'clock, not to be missed. It's called Why I Opened an Art Gallery.
Ah, sounds interesting.
Yeah. So it's a panel of four artists, two of whom are gallery owners. And it's been moderated by Vanessa Berry.
Great.
Right, so that's pretty exciting. And the other thing that we have coming up as well is we've created a postcard. I don't know if you know about this, but it's a postcard
I'm intrigued.
All right, so basically we've been working on it for months. Sam and I have been working on it for ages, and we've been able to incorporate all the galleries in the area of Chippendale. So we've got, A4 Centre for Contemporary Asian Art. We've got UTS. We've got the Japan Foundation Gallery. We've got White Rabbit, Wellington Street Projects, Nanda Hobbs, us, the Schiffer Gallery, Verge and Carriage Works, all
so
on one
much.
Little post-
wow,
postcard.
Wow, that's incredible. So it's quite a big area, kind of.
It is, but it's a
Chinatown.
Nice walk.
Yeah.
It's a nice walk, and then
definitely.
People can kind of, because a lot of people come to us and they may not know about some of the other galleries.
Yeah, so. I don't know about a few of those smaller ones. There's a lot in Chippendale that you don't really see unless you walk around and run into them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So is that launching soon?
Well, hopefully we'll have them by next week.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I look forward to that.
So come into Gallery Pom Pom and get
your postcard.
Yeah.
Come to the panel discussion.
Totally.
Can do everything in one place.
That's right. One-stop shop we are.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much to you both for joining me on the show this morning. I look forward to seeing your exhibition for the last time tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
and
Nicole.
Also to all the things that are coming up. Thank you. I've just been speaking with Danica and Michelle from Gallery Pom Pom. Danica's show unfortunately ends tomorrow, as we mentioned, so try to catch it today or tomorrow if you can. And otherwise, check out a bunch of great shows at Pom Pom in their upcoming programming starting next Wednesday. We're very excited to be supporting one of our favourite galleries. Now, that is about all that I have time for. I'm just going to play a bit of a sponsorship and then say my final farewell. You're listening to So Hot Right Now.
Hi, I'm Lisa Rose, the Festival Director for Queer Screen's 26th Mardi Gras Film Festival. We have 10 films on offer at the festival today, including hilarious Filipino comedy Chideng and Apple, starring a former Miss Universe, our fascinating feminist shorts package, laugh out loud lesbian comedy Lesbom, and if you ever wanted to hear some salacious gossip about Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn and the stars of the Golden Age of Hollywood, don't miss tonight's screening of Scotty and the Secret History of Hollywood. Get your tickets at queerscreen.org.au or the festival box office at Event Cinemas George Street.
You are listening to So Hot Right Now on 2SCR 107.3. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. Again, another extremely hectic show. If you missed anything,
please head over to our show page. If you look for So Hot Right Now on 2SCR 107.3, you'll find links to podcasts. We also do a weekly wrap-up called So Hot This Week. So if you want myself and my producers' picks on what to check out this weekend, please head there. Everything is there, as well as the playlist if you miss anything. I'm going to finish with a song that I tried to finish with last week, but unfortunately ran out of time. So I thought, why not do it again this week? This is Slip It On Your Pimpin' by Dames Brown. No, by Amp Fiddler featuring Dames Brown. Also, shout out to my producer, Amelia, for being absolutely amazing with all those live guests today. And everyone have a wonderful weekend. This is So Hot Right Now. See you next week. Goodbye.